What's up, everybody, and welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. It's another major week, Tom, and I thought we were going to have the full round table. We don't. The doctor is in surgery, I guess, but you and I are gonna take the reins, and we're going to do our official PGA Championship preview. How we doing, sir? It's always fun when it's a major week.
It always is. It feels like Christmas. Not quite like the Masters. And my only gripe with this major is I missed it when it was in August. And I think, you know, TC on No Laying Up said that he thinks that this should become an international major and go to, like, all the world's top golf courses. And honestly, I'm all for that. Even if we have to watch it weird times, I think put it back in August, let it cap off the year, and have us go to Australia and, you know, Japan and some of these other great golf places that just don't see a lot of professional golf. I think that's what we should do. We already have two majors in America. We're getting greedy now with three.
But, dude, how can you do that when we have the ever-important FedEx playoffs in August?
Oh, suck my butt. Fuck that. We cap off the year since they moved it. We say it all the time. We cap off the year with the Open. And then, you know, we always have the caveat of, well, we do have the FedEx playoffs. But, like, if you have to have a caveat with something, then it's not what you want it to be.
No, and you've got freaking Memphis when you've got Lucas Glover's pants just drenched. And then you move into East Lake in Atlanta where, let's just be honest, I think that's a really – anticlimactic place to have where you want your playoffs to be. End the season with the goddamn major and the PGA around the world would be fucking great.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that for the FedEx Cup, I agree with you, we obviously have to move the major, but they need to start playing it at some of these courses that they designed, like the PGA Frisco and all these other places, because apparently those courses are way better, and I'm tired of seeing this one in Atlanta.
Yeah,
they probably pay a lot of money, though.
Sure, but you're playing the FedEx Cup. I forget where the first leg is, but I think the second.
Isn't it New Jersey? It was in Jersey, wasn't it? At like Liberty? Was it Liberty National?
Or is it Liberty? But
it was a couple years ago when Finau won. I remember, but I don't know. Regardless,
I don't know. But to finish my point, to have the last two legs of that be Memphis and Atlanta in August just sucks. It's got to suck for the players. There's so many other great places.
Might as well just play on the sun.
Seriously, man. I mean, fucking come down to Austin. You can play here when it's 112 out. Like, yeah, I don't get it. But we have enough gripes with golf. I think we can fix it. You've already fixed it. People need to listen to you. But this is a great week because the PGA has had a lot of fun events, and it's back at Valhalla in Louisville, Kentucky, and there's some symmetry to Rory from 10 years ago where that
won last week,
last major, when he won last week, where he also won in 2014 before he rattled off this one. So a lot of good storylines. Obviously, Scotty's back as a new father. But Tom,
finally, Jesus, longest pregnancy ever. I hope his wife's okay.
The most important baby of all time in the golf world.
Yeah.
We might as well start off. We're going to kind of do a similar format to that of the Masters. And you proposed this formula, so we're going to hit the ground and run with it. Out of the top 10 odds-wise, who won't win? I think this is a really interesting way to start off. Obviously, we're going to give our foursomes at the end of this pod. We're also going to give Will's. But I'm going to let you take it off here, Tom.
Thank you.
Where do we want to start here? You know, there's a lot of big names on this board. There's a lot of intriguing names on this board, but I'm sure there's some that you're a lot more confident in than others.
Confidence when you're picking somebody not to win out of the top odds is always a little nerve-wracking. I could, again, I think you did it, or Will, one or the other, did the easy layup of Cantlay. I went out on a limb last time, from what I remember, and said John Rahm, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to double down on that and say John Rahm does not win the PGA. Maybe there's a meltdown. Maybe there's a bit of live fatigue for him, and he realizes that he just needs real competition every week. He's finished top 10 on live every single time, but he's not the dog that we know out there. Honestly, I think they put a little bit of a shock collar on him.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, Cantlay's the easiest one, and I'm learning a little bit, Tom. What I did was I went back and listened to our Masters preview.
Wow, you watched the tape. My God, you are in a bad way, but I love it.
Listen, you have to look in to figure out your flaws. And I baited myself a little bit because I said Cantlay and I should have left it there. But no, I tried to get too cute because that was the easiest cop-out answer. And I said, you know who definitely won't win is Colin Morikawa.
And he almost
didn't win. He didn't win, but he played great. So what I want from you is more clarity. Do you want me to just make the pick that I have the most confidence in, even if it's easy? Or you?
I just want you to pick somebody not to win. I mean, obviously, Will and I were busting your balls about Colin because he almost won. And that's right. Just if John Rahm runs up the leaderboard, I fully expect you guys to be busting my chops, even if he doesn't win. But you just pick somebody. I don't care if they finish second. Again, Colin finished, what, third at the Masters or second? Like,
right.
Just name somebody. Got to go out on the limb that isn't going to win. That's all. That's all I need from you.
All right. Well, I just wanted to check.
If you pick Scotty, that'd be a baller move.
Sometimes happens. So enough with that. I just wanted to clarify. Who won't win this tournament is Justin Thomas. I do not have any trust in him to win. I don't think this is his tournament. I don't think he's playing the kind of golf that lends itself to him winning at this tournament. There's too many other good players in the field. I'm not even 1,000% sure if he'll finish in anywhere near the top 10. So I just know this. Even if he plays himself into the top 10, he is not going to win this golf tournament. So, and I feel very vindicated with that.
Okay. I like that pick. I mean, yeah, he has not been playing incredibly well, so I feel like that's a good pick. Another one is Zalatoris, who shot in the 80s this past weekend. He caps off our like Mendoza line. You can't go below it. I thought that would have been another good pick. Would have been nice to hear the pick from Will, but he only gave us his foursome. So I'll go ahead and pick somebody for Will. Will went ahead and said that Scottie Scheffler will never win again. Texted me that from surgery with the other hand.
Yeah, that sounds like Will. No trust in the world, number one.
Yeah, exactly. So Will's picking Scotty on that one. Sorry, doctor, but you know, if you're not on the pod, we kind of just get to say what we want when we're making picks for each other. All right. Next category I came up with before we make our picks and then just go over a few odds and ends here. Long shot, Sean. I'm going to give you this one on the first. I don't remember. 7,000 or better was the odds that I went with after looking up and down the leaderboard. I just felt like anything short of 7,000 was kind of a cop-out.
Yeah, I mean, there were some names right around that Mendoza line that I was looking at, but they weren't quite that far down. I went with Matt Fitzpatrick, who's right at the 7,000 mark.
Okay. I should have made it 7,500.
That's all right, man. I mean, we were going to have to draw it somewhere. What if that was my first pick? It was going to be my first pick. So even if it was right at 7,500. Now, Matty Fitz, I had him at Quail Hollow. He didn't deliver for me. He was fucking terrible.
I wrote 7,500 on my notes, you cheating SOB.
I saw 70.
That's 70. Okay. Let's. It's more fun because I think somebody can actually win because the first guy at 7,500 is DJ. So I think it kind of falls off right at 7,500. So I'm giving us a little bit of a window there. I like okay. Your Matty Fitz pick, especially because he's been in like that would be a long shot pick because he's been in the dumps lately. I'm gonna go. I feel like this is cheating just because he's been playing really well lately. I'm gonna go with Sahith.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was cheating?
No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, Sahith, that would be a surprise. That would be a surprise. You know, looking down this leaderboard, I'm looking at a guy like, you know, Akshay. You know, where would he be? I'm trying to think of people who would be a surprise to me, and that's kind of where I drew with Fitz. DJ, man, after that Masters performance, I mean, it's hard to have any confidence in him doing anything right now. So
No, I think he's moved on. I think he's moved past that in life, and maybe he just said to himself, yeah, when Liv and PGA get back together, maybe I'll start trying again. I don't know. Will just comes in with his pick at plus 25,000. He's going with a man by the name of Phil Mickelson, believe it or not.
Hey.
So
all right.
It was a toss up between him and I don't even know. I was going to make up another name, but I couldn't think of anybody funny.
I wanted to pick Matty Fitz because he, like, to finish my point, he played like dog shit. He screwed me. He's not playing the best, but he has major championship pedigree and he
battle test.
He could go out and do this. So he is not somebody that I would be shocked if that's why it's a long shot, though, right? He's not playing great. He was really bad at Quail Hollow, but he's got the pedigree. So I think if you're thinking long shot, you got to look at people who could you picture in your mind them being in contention on a Sunday, and Fitzpatrick has that.
Yeah, and that's what kind of why Will, I think, went with Phil. I like that pick out of you, by the way. I completely agree with it. That's why Will went with Phil. He's like, listen, out of the three that we pick, the only one to have a PGA championship is Phil. So
yeah. At 50 too.
At 50, 2021, I remember it fondly before the world of golf got flipped on its head. All right, let's make some picks. Let me pull up my text messages here. All right, here it is. I will rattle off Will's picks for us. I feel like it just needs to be mentioned, although it was only by 0.25. Will did win the Masters competition.
That he did.
So he is the first major champion of the world. He knocked the first one off. I've got a good feeling he's not going to win this one. But let me tell you, if he basically has three golfers versus us four, I'm going to be real sad if he wins this one. So to lead it off, Will says Max Homa to finish at least top 10. Okay, Will, thank you for that. I guess we're picking spots as well. And we know Will loves himself some Max Homa, so somebody had to have him in his group, and I had a good feeling Will was going to have him in there. His second pick, Scottie Scheffler, I think if we're all probably going to take him, layup of the year. Didn't take him with his winner pick, though, but he's got him, parentheses, top three. Then he has Michael Block, because fuck Tom. Fully expected that. Would have been disappointed if he didn't have it. So that's why I mentioned that it's basically going to be three versus four. So if we don't win, we've got a real issue, Sean, unless somehow it would kind of be hilarious if Block finishes like top 15 again.
Yeah, it would. Year two, repeat, obviously shot that incredible round, practice round, so.
Yes, and then finally he has Rory as a winner, not because Rory is an excellent player, not because Rory won last week, but he wrote four divorce reasons he's free. So I guess that's how Will views marriage, and that's good to know. So Steph, Will's girlfriend, good luck with that.
Best of luck to her.
Best of luck to her, but that is Will's foursome. And with that being said, Sean, how do you feel about it? And then we'll lead right into yours.
You know, the Rory pick is interesting. You know, somebody had to do it. I think when you look at Rory and assess where you're at, listen, for people that like to dive into playing armchair psychologist, this is a little interesting for you, is that the last time he won a major was when he also called up an engagement. And that was in 2014 when he won at Valhalla.
Who's his first girlfriend? Is it a celebrity?
I have no idea who it is.
I'm going to say that golf chick, Paige, whatever her name is. I don't know if she's got a boyfriend. I hope she's dating Robbie Berger from Bob Does Sports, but I don't know. It's all internet rumors.
I think it also, too, is Rory, who was literally filing like divorce papers this past weekend, was able to pull himself together and win in Quail Hollow. So I think you don't have to dive that deep into it. Golf is a sanctuary for him. If he's playing great, he has a chance to compete and win. The other thing, too, is I think this course is going to play really advantageously for the big hitters because of the weather. And Rory obviously fits into that category, so he could have a really good weekend. There's a lot of things lining up for Rory from past history and what he's currently doing right now. I think anybody that wanted to completely eradicate themselves of Rory got suckered back into it after this past weekend. And I don't blame you. You know, he's obviously.
Did you, is the question.
I did not pick him to win, but he is in my foursome.
Wow. Okay.
And I think it's fair. And you know me, Tom, and I'm searching for answers. And I said, you are overthinking this shit. Now, as I dive into my foursome, I had to do what Will did because we had an agreement of sorts.
Oh, here we go.
If he had to take Michael Block in his foursome because of his, you know, dick riding for him, I had to do that with Victor and take all the slings and arrows from having him at Augusta. I don't have him winning, but I put him in my foursome.
Like he could have a week. He could. I mean, it's fucking Victor Hovland. I mean,
exactly, exactly. I think it's a better bet than Michael Block.
Oh, so really? You think?
So I'll take that. And obviously, Victor is in my foursome. The rest of the way, Rory, I alluded to him. I got Brooks, and then I got Scotty winning. Don't overthink this, Sean. Just put four of the best players in the world, and I would still put Victor in there, even though he's been bad this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
put
fair.
Pick world number one as your winner again, because he hasn't steered you wrong. So there it is. Rory, Hovland, Brooks, Scotty is the winner.
If anything doesn't help you, the talking in the third person might. All right, you ready for mine?
I am. Let's go.
Well, I don't deride for players that just don't, you know, that don't play well in majors, so I don't have to. I'm not forced to make any picks. First guy I'm going with, this is purely I want to beat you guys this week. I don't think he's going to win. He is the vice captain of the 5 o'clock hitters club, but he's playing incredible golf. I'm taking Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Number two for me, I can't not take him. This is kind of like a very light version because he won last year to you guys where I have to take him because he's my guy. That's Brooksy. Got to take him. Reigning champ. Number three, long irons. And apparently there's a couple of long holes on this course where, you know, you're not going to be hitting a wedge or an eight iron in. It's going to be down to the six, the fives, and the fours. I got Colin Morikawa for that reason, and he's playing really well. And then finally, you know who I picked. I mean, I won, so I picked a lineup based off winning, so I took Scotty.
Yeah, you'd be stupid not to. You'd be really, really stupid not to.
Yep, exactly. So everybody's got Scotty in their foursome. I mean, it's kind of like if we did a podcast, if we were the first podcast ever back when, before podcasts were even invented, when Tiger Woods was on a heater.
Yeah, again. It's
a 10-year heater.
You're burying the lead here. It's you. Anybody that doesn't pick Scotty, I really just got to question what you're doing at this point.
You're trying to be you in certain other tournaments where you just get too cute.
Yeah, and I've learned my lesson. I mean, I did pick Scotty to win at the Masters. So.
Yes, you have learned.
That,
and I'm proud of you.
I wasn't trying
that.
To be that cute.
No.
But let's talk about some names that I find interesting.
Tiger.
So, Tiger's always going to be interesting if he's in the field. Does he make the cut?
I think he does. I think he does. I mean, since this accident, whatever you want to call it, I think he's made damn near every cut. I don't think he's made every cut, but almost every cut. I don't remember. Did he make it at Southern Hills? I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, it seems like Tiger gets up for the cut right now.
You know, the consecutive streak of making the cut at Augusta meant the world to him. I think his finish line was Friday, not Sunday, and he got it. And I'm just interested to see what he does. It's a treat that he's playing. I'm really happy that he's able to do it. And the all eyeballs on him. I want to also talk about Jon Rahm, who continues to talk about how he's not really happy with the arrangement at LIV and how he still views himself as part of the PGA. That caught the ire of a lot of people this week. And I got to ask you, man, I mean, nothing he's done at LIV can make me feel one way or another about him. But we're a year removed from him defending the previous major, which was the Masters, and going to the PGA. Where do you and the confidence meter of Rahm, neither three of us put him in our foursome. What do you expect out of him this week?
I expect him to make the cut and finish in the top 30, but I don't think there's ever going to be an instance where I don't think I'm going to have to tweet on the weekend like, here comes Jon Rahm. I'm about to eat my words. He's never going to be in real contention, in my opinion.
Right. It's so weird how a year can change so much. And it's, again, because of this live situation, we just don't see some of these guys play. And that's going to bring me to Bryson, who, if this course does play the way that a lot of people are prognosticating out that it will, he could be a really, you know, he could be an interesting pick if you want to gamble on him to finish top 10 or maybe be a finalist here. I think I actually feel
odds makers agree, by the way.
I feel really good about Bryson after what he did in the Masters. I know he kind of folded a little bit at the end, but his first 2 days were great. I think this course is great for him. I expect him to play really well this weekend.
I agree with you. I think he kind of proved to us that he's trying to be the best golfer that he can, and he's over some of the bullshit. I mean, he's still going to be annoying as fuck. I'm sure he's going to do at least four things that just make me want to break my television this weekend. But on the golf course, he seems to be back to just trying to make as many, you know, get the ball in the hole in as little strokes as possible and stop trying to be crazy with the drives and all that. Like, he seems to have dialed his game back in. So I'm right there with you. I think he's going to finish probably, he might even be able to get a top 10 this week.
I got the thoughts on another Scandinavian, Ludvig Åberg, who it sounds like that knee issue was a nice way of saying, I don't feel like playing this week and I want to get myself ready for the PGA. I don't think that injury, you can lend a lot of credence to it, but we saw what he did at the Masters. And I
didn't
think
seem to deter us. The him saying the injury is a non-issue, I'm surprised with that statement that none of us picked him.
I was thinking about it, man. I really was. I mean, he's plus 2,000. We saw what he did at the Masters. He really opened a lot of eyeballs on the national level and to see, too, what he could do at a major. I think he's going to play really, really well this weekend and just going to continue to play great golf.
I mean, it's not fair, dude. He's so fucking good looking, too.
I know, man. That's going to be the thing. Every good thing he does this weekend, I'm just going to be thinking of you, thinking of him.
Oh, man. Well, you're going to be thinking about me a lot because I think he's going to have a pretty good week given he's cleared up all the knee injury talk. Anybody else that you're excited to see? Any storylines? What do you think's going to be the storyline of the week? You think it's going to be Tiger talk? You think it's going to be fucking Blocky talk? I pray not, because that means it was a terrible week. you think JT might make some noise being at home? I know you picked him as your long shot, right? Or did you pick him not to win? No, I can't even remember.
No, you took him not to win. I took Matty Fitz as my long shot.
Again, we got Spieth, where it's like, is he going to have a great week? Is he going to have a recent week?
I don't trust that he's healthy with that wrist injury.
I agree.
His play is indicating of that.
Wyndham Clark, we got to talk about and have a look at him. Joaquim, and they invited Taylor Gooch, which I thought was bullshit after the things that he said with the asterisk thing. He's playing in it, so it won't be an asterisk major for everybody out there. I hope he finishes DFL.
That'd be fine with me.
You went to live, Tommy, you grabbed the bag, now suck it up.
Tommy Fleetwood, I think he's going to play really well because, again, of the way that the course is going to be.
And
because
he always plays well in majors, just doesn't win.
And he's going to kick the shit out of this course, but he's not going to win because he doesn't win majors. I think he's going to be right there in the hunt, top 15 maybe, top 10. I also look at Wyndham Clark. What can he do? He's not playing his best right now either, but he has a major under his belt last year at LACC for the U.S. Open. I don't know, man. I mean, anybody else? I mean, you and I did not put Max in our foursome.
No.
Will did. So what are your expectations for Max this week?
I think Max will get a cool top 15. Actually, you know, I think Max is going to top 10, and I think he'll be hanging around. And again, if he wins, I would take that over beating you guys any day of the week, twice on Sunday. But I can beat you guys any week, but Max winning a major would be incredible. I just didn't take him because I thought four guys were going to play better than him this week.
Any other live guys that we haven't mentioned? We've mentioned Brooks. We've mentioned Bryson.
Jocko Neiman, I'm interested in.
Okay.
Cam Smith as well. Just want to see, like, Cam Smith is just, he's always been around in the majors, especially at Augusta, but he's just, ever since that, the win at the Open and then just going basically straight to live, I haven't seen the same game out of him. I think he might be another guy where he doesn't like to play, unlike Rom, where Rom likes to play all the time, but he needs to play in order to stay into form.
Any expectations for Dustin Johnson?
No. None. Zero. I'm more concerned with Fashion Corner.
Okay, any bold prediction? Oh, by the way, one more name that I want to throw in there is a long shot that I think has a chance to maybe not win, but has a chance to be in contention at least and in conversation on Sunday is Jason Day.
I mean, that's your boy. Thank God you got that in there before the pod ended. He probably would be pretty upset if you didn't mention him, especially a former PGA winner.
I think he would, and also, too, is if we're going to talk Fashion Corner, we got to wonder what he's going to be rolling out there.
I mean, that outfit he had last week, one of the days at Quail Hollow, was fucking sick with, like, the towel material shirt from Melbourne with the pants, with the oversized belt. I thought it was swaggy. Yeah, he's going to headline Fashion Corner. He's already got the digital lavender, as Mr. Melbourne, Stephen Melbourne himself called it, that he wore today. I thought he looked sick, but I'm sure some people were rolling in their graves during a practice round him wearing what he wore. I mean, Victor, I feel like at this point with him in the what is it? The London, what's the name of the place? The company? Jay Lundenberg or whatever?
Lundenberg.
I feel like we're beating a dead horse with that one. For me, it's just like, I want to see this week, I want to see what the major brands do, because more and more often you see it with Melbourne this year with, and you've seen it with Lululemon, with Minwoo Lee, and you've seen it with a bunch of other companies. Guys are going to smaller companies. I want to see if these big companies try and grab back a little market share, because they've been putting out they might as well just put trash bags on the guys sometimes. I mean, I really want to see, like, Tommy's a Nike guy, what he's wearing. Obviously, Brooksy, what he's wearing. Xander's an Adidas guy. I mean, every time that it's Xander, they put him out there, I love watching Xander play. As much as he's a 5 o'clock hitter, I love his swing, but some of those outfits are shameful.
I hear you. I absolutely hear you. I don't know where else to go on Fashion Corner. I think we're going to have to assess after day one.
And just want to see the big brands step up and start being fucking trendsetters again.
You know my thoughts on Adidas golf, so I'm not going to go back down that rabbit hole. I will ask you this about Valhalla in totality. How do you like this course? How do you like how it plays? Do you have any expectations for how do you see, like, I guess, what's going to be the winning score at this kind of course here in May?
16?
Yeah.
16 under? I mean, it's like, it's kind of a double-edged sword just because it's the PGA Championship. It's going to be one of the toughest tests out there, so they're going to grow up the rough and all that other good stuff. And obviously, that's going to make it more difficult, but then again, with the wet conditions making the rough a little thicker on the other end, it makes it softer so you can stop the ball more easily, and that's why everybody's staring at Rory, because he can just fucking send it and not have any, you know, negative consequences for it. I think it's going to be a really fair and tough test. Whether or not it'll be good visually for the TV viewer and whatnot, 2014 was so long ago, and I'm sure this course has had a couple of...
And it was played in a different time of the year, too.
Exactly, a couple of facelifts. So we'll have to see how it looks aesthetically on the television, but I think it'll be a true test for these guys.
Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a winning score in that 15 to 18 range.
Yeah, it's not going to be like a race to, you know, 25 under. It's a major, so it's going to be tough, and I think the big boys are going to be floating near the top.
That's what everybody's saying from all the research that I've done heading into this pod. It seems to be the prevailing thought. So we got that to look forward to, man. Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts from Will that you think he'd like to make?
No, I think I can't really speak for Will too much except for his picks. I should have gone rogue and just picked the last four guys on the leaderboard for his foursome. But I'm trying to make the competition interesting.
But he gave
here.
Us his foursome.
He
so.
Did. He did. So I can't even do that to him. But no, I mean, I'm excited for this week to start. I really am. I just hope that they get good weather.
It doesn't sound like they will. It sounds like actually Friday is going to be the worst. So we're probably going to have a couple rounds pushed up into the early morning. We're probably going to have some delays, and we might see what we did in the Masters Thursday into Friday, where we're finishing round one on Friday morning. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a mess, but we'll hunker down for it. I'm excited for it, man. Anytime you get the best players back together again, it lends for a great amount of golf and a great amount of content.
Couldn't agree with you more, man. Let's go to bed and we'll wake up tomorrow and watch some golf.
I'm fucking all about it. All right, everybody. Take care. Enjoy the tournament.